I feel good, I feel great, I feel wonderful. I feel good, I feel great, I feel wonderful. I feel good, I feel great, I feel wonderful. And what about Bob was the number one movie in America?
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
It is the number one movie in America. My name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with a 60s superhero family of movie fans.
I'm in.
We're all Elastigirl. We all get to be Elastigirl. No one has to pick
Clivers
anyone else.
Dash.
Okay.
Yes, he's absolutely Dash.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
It's Aaron Kleiber.
Baby steps to the podcast.
It's Robin Hitchcock.
Don't hassle me. I'm local.
And, I want that shirt so bad.
And Camila Adams. Do you
it
have
makes
a
makes my lips numb just to think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I have that one. Right now.
We didn't plan that.
When we drew episodes and I said, "What about Bob?" Everyone else in this room screamed with joy.
Yeah, we did.
11-11 is "What about Bob?"
Yeah.
How are we all feeling now that we get to record about it?
Joyful.
I'm still joyful, but I'm also, I was like, huh, it's not as funny as I remember.
I feel you on that, yeah. But, you know, I got to introduce this to my kids.
Nice.
Oh,
so,
because,
you know, I thought,
fun.
Yeah, I was like, this is PG, there's some swearing, they can deal with that, they're fine.
But it's very tame, adorably tame
yes.
swearing.
Yes.
Turkey tits.
Yes, I mean, yes. My son said, "What's a butt douche?"
Well.
And I think I said, "An enema." And it sounded like a joke, like we did a bit.
Yeah.
"Hey, Dad, what's a butt douche?" "An enema." Yeah.
Yeah, that is what a butt douche would be.
Yeah.
It's just a creative way of saying enema. That's
yeah,
very
exactly.
nice. No, that was... That, I loved that relationship. Just the kid from Hook and Bill Murray.
Can we talk about Charlie Cosmo for a second?
Is that the kid from Hook?
Yes.
Okay.
That is the child actor equivalent of John Cazale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is... John Cazale was in five movies. They were The Godfather, Godfather Part II, Deer Hunter, Conversation, and what's the fifth one? Dog Day Afternoon. And so he's in five movies, all five nominated for Best Picture.
Interesting.
Yeah, then he died.
Oh,
right.
This kid didn't die, did he?
This kid did not die, but he did become a Republican lawyer.
Ooh.
Yeah, but anyway, like, he's in eight movies. I haven't heard of a few of them, but, like, he's in Hook, he's in this, his only adult role is Can't Hardly Wait, which is by far the best part of that movie.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
He was the one that was
Dick
like...
Tracy?
Yeah, Dick Tracy was, he was good in that.
Yeah, I enjoyed seeing him. I had to look up who he was. But
great cast.
Yeah,
really
great,
great
cast.
Yeah. Really good cast.
Aaron just watched it, as he said, with his kids. And you know, he was paying attention to go, wait, do I have to skip ahead of here? You had to pay extra attention the whole time.
Why?
Because you're being sensitive to if there's something, you don't know, maybe there was a secret boob in the movie and you're just on your toes.
No, I saw that it was PG. 1991 PG is pretty safe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But in any case, that
PG,
prepared you to do a 60-second recap.
Absolutely.
All right.
Robin, do you have the
I'll
timer ready to go?
I don't have my watch, so I have to get an actual...
60 seconds.
60 seconds on the clock. I believe Aaron
I
failed...
I used to do this for a living.
Aaron failed his last attempt despite doing this for a living.
Drunk, probably.
All the way back in Divergent. And
yeah.
and
oh,
you
God.
just started...
off the rails.
You just started talking about how dumb
trap.
It is.
That's the trap. That's all right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Go.
What About Bob stars Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss. Richard Dreyfuss plays Dr. Leo Marvin, a New York rich kind of narcissistic psychiatrist who just came out with a brand new book called Baby Steps. And he has thrown Bill Murray from another psychologist because Bill Murray is a little bit much and becomes his new patient. Well, little does Richard Dreyfuss know that Bill Murray will follow him and his family to vacation and ruin it.
Is that it?
We shall see.
That was good. 30 seconds. That's great.
That might be our quickest recap ever.
Yeah. It really,
I don't
Camila
feel you
had
left
her like 9 second, like, this is what Kiss the Girls is about.
Girl's dead. Morgan Freeman's there. It's a movie. It's,
Billy Zane is not.
It's very helpful when you love and know the movie, you know, right. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is like something you grew up with, because this is one that did not register with me as a kid.
Oh, this is something like I told my kids to go up to my sister and yell, "Get out of the car!" And my sister will lose her mind laughing, because I used to say it all the time.
The captions say "get out" inaudible, and I'm like, he's clearly saying the car.
It's the best.
Did everyone but me, like, no one but me came to this recently?
No, I grew up with this a lot. Yeah, I think, I don't even know why my family saw this. I'm pretty sure it's because my mom had a thing for Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know if we saw it in the theater or if it was like a blockbuster kind of night or whatever, but we would watch it a lot. Like, it was so much I had like a bootleg copy for a while.
This was the peak of Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, this was... Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a movie that you watch when you are on vacation on a lake.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
My family used to do, and I actually have a charming anecdote. Mm-hmm. So we always vacationed in Vermont. We went to the same lake every summer in Vermont, and there was an inn there. And then the inn was sold, and so we stopped going to this lake in Vermont. And the first year that we went on vacation after the inn was sold, my mom, she and her best friend had a consulting firm, and they were like, we're going to do a corporate retreat, and then we'll all have our families come too, right? So the corporate retreat was on Lake Winnipesaukee. And
It's a real place.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was all like a grumpy teenager, like, I want to go to Lake St. Catherine like I did every year since I was four, right? Or two, right?
I don't like change.
Who's ever heard of Lake Winnipesaukee? And they're like, it's a gigantic lake. It's hugely popular. And then eventually my Uncle Bob, my mom's business partner, said, haven't you seen What About Bob? And I was like, yes, we watched it at your house. Of course I've seen What About Bob. And so he's like, they talk about Lake Winnipesaukee all the time in that movie. Mm-hmm. So then on this corporate retreat, my family, my parents' best friend's family, all of their employees' families were all watching What About Bob together with a whiteboard ticking off every time they say Lake Winnipesaukee.
I love it.
It's well into the double digits.
Oh my God. Sure.
They spell it at some point.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Betty spells it very, very slowly.
I love that those kind of things in this movie. It makes you remember how they used to be able to get away with stuff in movies. Yeah. I don't know when it stopped, maybe 2000, where someone like Bill Murray's character could walk into an operator room and be like, hi, could you give me people's addresses? I'm a detective.
Right. He holds up his insurance card.
You know what I mean? There was a point where movies stopped being like, that's not real. You cannot
like, so
do that.
So many questions. Like, how did he find the address to this call center?
Right? Crazy. Yes.
And she's like, sure, yes, here's his address. This is where you can find him.
So I wonder if this is one of those times that because I didn't see it when I was younger, I'd like it less than the rest of you. But
that's probably the truth.
Let's get to that after the following factual information. What About Bob was released May 17th, 1991.
I don't think I like your tone, Sean, going into this.
I'm so excited I'm not going to be the negative Nancy in this episode.
Really? Because I had done that, I thought you and Sean would have a problem with this.
I was so concerned. I was like, because, you know, last time I saw this was probably when I was 16 on Lake Winnipesaukee. And I was like, I've had a whole bunch of, you know, feminist killjoy education and mental health awareness. No, I still like it.
Yeah.
I'll get to it.
Back to your
No, I feel bad. That's the thing. I was watching
Don't
it and I was like, oh no, I'm ruining it for everybody.
You feel what you feel when you feel them.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
That's very nice.
It's a very supportive podcast.
You can't steal my joy, Sean. Yeah.
It's defiant support is what it is.
It better be. Sean, I'll 300 kick you into a pit. Let's go.
You guys have very different reactions.
Different.
Let's go.
This is a spectrum of handling Sean disliking a movie.
It was the eighth number one film of the year in 1991. Won the weekend with $9.2 million. It made $63.7 million. The 19th highest grossing film of the year. There was nothing going on the weekend. Mm-hmm. This was number one. In second place was the action sequel FX2, which had won the previous weekend.
Wow.
Third place was the Madonna documentary Truth or Dare.
Of course.
Sexy.
There were other new releases this weekend. What About Bob fended off such competition as the action movie Stone Cold, starring Brian Bosworth.
Oh my gosh.
Starring Brian Bosworth?
The football player.
Go mm-hmm. watch the 30 for 30 special on The Boz.
See, mm-hmm. for what I was thinking.
I'm serious.
Barry Bostwick, because that's Bostwick? Who I was thinking of.
I was thinking of the little kid from Family Ties.
No,
who
were
you thinking of, listener?
So, Brian Boswell.
Bosworth.
Bosworth, whatever his name. Yeah, you said Boswell, and you messed me up. Bosworth. Which one?
Brian
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Bosworth.
So, he was this football player, and they tried to make him like a John Cena, like a like an athlete turn actor. Some really hysterical like Skinamax mm-hmm. action films. Oof.
He earned a Razzie nomination for
yes,
it, so that's
that
good.
Makes sense.
That wasn't the worst debut of this weekend. In eighth, Mannequin 2 on the Move,
which I saw in theaters.
Wow.
Came out. Not many other people did. Its full box office was under $4 million. So What About Bob did not have much competition.
I don't think I was aware there was a part two.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy to hear that they weren't just duping everybody with garbage sequels today.
No.
It's right. They've been doing it for a long time. Yeah.
What About Bob earned more in its second weekend. Memorial Day climbed to 11.2 million, but it lost the number one spot to the debuting Backdraft. But it would stick around well into the summer in the top 10 for 7 weeks. The fourth highest grossing film from director Frank Oz, behind The Score, Bowfinger, and In and Out, mm-hmm. Which means all four of those movies, including What About Bob, earned much more than Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Dark Crystal, Little Shop of Horrors, and Muppets Take Manhattan. Mm. This is kind of Bill Murray's career number 10. Because it should be number one, but for some reason Box Office Mojo counts Space Jam as a cameo.
Oh,
so that doesn't make. He was
a really
pretty,
big cameo.
Yeah.
He was a huge cameo. He was like a huge reveal in that movie.
So it's really number 11. Mm-hmm. Any guesses? Bill Murray's top movie ever?
Scrooged.
Scrooged made less than What About Bob?
It's not Ghostbusters.
It's not. This is a trick question.
Ghostbusters is number 2.
Okay.
It is the live action remake of The Jungle Book, where he voices Bobo.
Now
yeah, see what I mean?
Is a cameo.
Yeah.
No, he's a voice of a main character.
Which actually,
yeah,
he was great.
He's a main character in Space Jam.
Right. It was really fun listening to him as Baloo. It was really fun.
Jungle Book is number one, followed by Ghostbusters, Tootsie, Charlie's Angels, Ghostbusters 2, and Stripes.
I always forget that he's in Tootsie.
Yeah, totally.
But then Space Jam doesn't count, but his part in Tootsie?
Yeah, I don't know what they're
right.
doing.
It's weird.
It doesn't make sense.
The zombie movies count?
Zombieland?
Yeah.
That was counted as a cameo, too.
He's in it for like 25 minutes!
Right?
He is not on screen for 4 minutes in Zombieland.
That's not
I don't know
true.
About that.
There's three quick scenes.
That makes me so sad. I like really hate that scene. Like, it makes me really sad.
Oh, I watched it again recently and was like, ah, damn it. Yeah. As soon as they pulled up to his house, I was like, Bill!
I don't like it.
Bill! I know. I felt the same way.
Maybe he can come back in the sequel. There's a sequel this year, right?
Yeah.
Not with that. Yep. Jesse
who needs that?
I love Zombieland.
Okay.
Yeah, Zombieland's fun.
But that Jesse kid, oh my God.
Yeah, no, I don't like him in anything.
I've never liked him in anything.
Oh. Yep. I'm with it. Never
is
liked him.
Is Abigail Breslin a grown up now?
She is.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely
is. Yeah, he's absolutely on my list of celebrities that I want to fight. He's just made it.
Like
ding. I want to fight him.
Congratulations.
Sometimes.
Way to go, Jesse.
I really love Adventureland. So, like, that forgives some of his. You don't really love. I have to have watched Adventureland 10 times.
Between him and Kristen Stewart.
I
like Kristen Stewart too.
Yeah.
But I've never seen Adventureland.
Kristen.
She's fun.
You've never seen Adventureland? You don't like amusement parks? You don't like Pittsburgh? Which one is it?
We'll talk about it later.
No.
So I've been doing this with Sean a long time. I just put on my Shape of Water goggles and what's that other terrible movie you said was number one? I can't even remember the title. It was so non-memorable.
Anomalisa.
That's what I meant, but I said Shape of Water. It was not bad.
Okay. All right. So What About Bob?
What About Bob? What else did I have? Oh, so Bill Murray movies that made less than What About Bob include Scrooged, Meatballs, Kingpin, and Caddyshack, which only made $39.8 million. That was one of those later in its life hits. And finally, this is one of four number ones with a question mark in the title.
Interesting.
Who's got them?
Only one of four number ones.
With a question mark in the title.
How about Why Did I Get Married?
That's one of them.
Boom!
Oh, what? Mm-hmm.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm.
I don't think that was the number one.
How about Patton?
Godfather?
Other guesses? Other guesses?
No, I got nothing, man.
What's Up, Doc?
No.
And that's before our tracking.
This is not, this is fun. This is fun.
You didn't get the one that I thought you would get, which is Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And the other one is Ice Cube in Are We There Yet?
That was just on the TV when I left the house.
Really?
Yeah.
That's still on the TV? Somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. So, look, I'm going to say the thing that I have to say and then step back because I want you all to just experience joy with me being quiet in a corner.
No, I mean, but, I'm actually very interested to engage about this because I really, truly expected to watch this and be like,
I did too. I knew what kind of lens Sean would go in
exactly.
watching it.
That's not even it. That's not even
really,
it.
Really? Because I have some counterpoints to that.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say no.
Let's stop pretending we know what he thinks.
Okay, yeah, you're right, Robin.
It is not about the mental health thing. I'm usually really sensitive to, like, you know, insensitive portrayals of mental health. That's why I hate Split. But, like, that doesn't bother me because Bill Murray's character is so clearly, like, not even really crazy. Like, you know, he's actually very confident and self-assured. He's just kind of become convinced. That doesn't bother me. It's what this podcast's one super fan, Abby Fudor, has to say, which I didn't read it. Like, I knew she had posted something on Facebook. And I kind of pulled away from it.
Me too.
But then as I was watching it, I went back and checked and fully agree. This movie's frustrating because Richard Dreyfuss is 100% right. And it's infuriating that literally no one else in the movie is even acknowledging that he's in the right at every moment.
You're right.
Until he starts murder.
It's like slow descent into madness because his family is too damn welcoming of this dude. Like, I totally agree with him about boundaries. Like, this was like Bob was in the wrong every step of the way. And his family and his wife was like, oh, yeah, sure. Why can't he stay? Sure, sleep in my kid's bedroom. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, that's not all right.
Bill Murray is really, really funny. I like the cast. There's a bunch of gags I like. But by the end of it, I was like, this is dumb. This is just the same. Every scene is the same setup and payoff. Every scene is, we think we found a way to get rid of Bob. No, Bob's still here. That happens 17 times, and then we go home.
Go look at some of the best comedies ever made. Study their structure. See me again.
My favorite of
just saying
of that.
I'm just saying.
My favorite of those is good
comedy is very simple.
When he's like,
I'm just
when he closes gone? The door to space.
Okay, that one's really good.
Oh my gosh,
that one still gets me.
It's so simple,
but that means the plot doesn't go anywhere. You know,
it absolutely does.
The plot is watching Richard Dreyfuss's character become more and more unhinged.
Yeah,
that's
also. But Bob also does get better.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Quote unquote, in his own like mind.
I think it has a lot to do with like stereotypes and people's just positions in life and things like that. And like maybe because I have new lenses on, you know, in the last probably 5 years of my adult life, you know, and you know, people educating themselves, but you know, looking at like how you're like, he's actually kind of like his family in like these people he meets. He's kind of like everyone has a couple problems.
Right. That's
he's kind of normal.
Right. That's what I was thinking and too. Like seeing his character with all of this stuff just blown out of proportion. Yeah. It's like somebody is going to identify with one of his problems. Because there's like several of them that I'm like, yes, absolutely. Crowded elevators. No, thank you.
Okay.
I don't want to pee in a public bathroom. Like, I get you, Bob.
Like having anxiety about going out to a new therapist.
Right. Yeah. That's normal.
And it was funny because I was kind of explaining, you know, the more of like a serious theme to my kids. Mm. Like kind of like, he's not really that bad. Like he's not. Everybody is a little goofy.
Right.
You know, that's how I explain it to my kids.
I also think
they
do a decent job of making Richard Dreyfuss enough of a douche that you don't mind that his life gets destroyed and that his family, even like Richard Dreyfuss is right and his family is letting Bob cross boundaries they shouldn't let him cross and they are being too nice, but you want his family to be happy because they're sweet and kind and you want Richard Dreyfuss you don't mind that Richard Dreyfuss is unhappy because he's a douche and they do some really nice things to establish that. Like I really like that he charges Bill Murray for the book.
Yes.
And I have a thing I like doing where I look up whenever they say a price in an older movie, I go to the inflation calculator. So the book was $25.99 and I looked that up. and it's like $48.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that stuff like that, then absolutely proven douchebag.
Right.
And then the puppets.
The puppets.
Okay,
oh, that's priceless.
That was his douchiest and funniest moment.
I mean, you see, like, and then you look at that Richard Dreyfuss's character, like, and you see that, like, just because he's successful and he, like, they put him in this big office, and like how you're saying they present him, and you're like, he's the one that's nuts. I love that simple juxtaposition where you're like, man.
If he had just let go a little bit, just like pulled back and was like, all right, whatever, man. We're just going to, like, things wouldn't have gotten.
And the thing that really makes him upset is not his family or his vacation being invaded. It's his moment in the spotlight on Good Morning America.
But what's the word he says? You're right. He says he's ruining my
moment.
No, not legacy. It's something like.
I thought it was just like he ruined my life.
It was, he does say that. Yeah. He says he ruined my fill in the blank quite a bit.
Yeah, it was something like he's, you know, this is my, another word for legacy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm also like, I don't know, I'm also like, this guy is genuinely really, really nervous and intimidated about a key and pivotal career moment that he's not personally suited for. And as that's happening, his family is completely ignoring him to toss dishes around with a random dude.
By the way, his wife.
This is why it bothers me.
One-handed. Catch of a plate across the kitchen.
That was impressive.
She snatched it out of the air. I was like, kids, did you see that?
I was like,
that is a touchdown.
No, I still enjoyed it. I just, it's just a structure that I found a little frustrating. It's packed with great bits. By the way, I realized I'm in love with the bit where the camera goes really far away before someone screams.
Oh, yeah.
Like when it's set up.
And
set
then,
up,
like, birds fly away.
Right.
Love it.
That's such an effective.
It's
and
very,
it ha-
and Frank Oz does that a couple times. But,
and,
yeah.
And it was, and
they
I
do
noticed
it in Muppet.
Here,
in the,
well, I noticed it here because it just happened in Toy Story 4.
Oh, okay.
Really, really effectively. And I was like, oh, I love that bit. I would have been obsessed with this movie if the initial appointment was 75 minutes long. Mm. Like, I wanted to just watch Bill Murray list symptoms, fingernail sensitivity.
Yes, so funny.
Well, Richard Dreyfuss just stares at him forever. And I liked it. It's funny. It's just, y'all set me up a little bit too much by having an orgasm of joy when I said the name of the movie.
My friend, a friend of mine did that scene, Bill Murray's, like, as a comedic monologue and got, like, a part in a movie.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Yes.
I do love,
like, the whole heart, like, the heart attack and everything.
I love the old people. That
the Gutman?
Yes, the Gutman.
Yeah,
when she yells out, Hitler! Also, I have a dream house on my lake, Lake St. Catherine, and, like, if some schmuck selling his Baby Steps book for $48 bought that out from under me, I'd call him Hitler.
My favorite Gutman moment, and we're not spoiling this old movie.
No.
Just go watch it.
Was their last appearance. They are in their boat
in the middle
at
of the
3
night.
In the morning.
Right.
And they're watching the house explode. Like, that's the biggest Gutman laugh.
Burn, baby.
Why
are you there?
Did they know?
I love it.
Are they omniscient?
We don't need to know. It's perfect.
Oh, speaking of omniscience, my husband's theory of this film is that Richard Dreyfuss dies at some point when there's some minor peril. He's like, oh, he dies there, and then this is his hell.
I like that better.
I think you guys need to order a pizza and get a joint and relax. Enjoy the cinema.
I just am so relieved for once that I could just enjoy a movie and not, because you are right.
I'm very happy.
You are 100% right. And
you're right.
And I know that Abby's not the only person who feels that way. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine's mom was a psychiatrist, and I know she hated this movie, but I think it's so funny. I think it's so funny. I whispered a lot in last week's episode, and then I had to, like, adjust the levels, and it was a pain in my butt. So.
One of my movie pet peeves is people violating, as Richard Dreyfuss keeps saying, violating the doctor-patient relationship.
Yeah.
Right. I think I mentioned this on the podcast once before, at the end of 50-50, where...
Oh, yeah, you did. We talked about
where
that.
Where Anna Kendrick gets together with her psychiatrist patient.
Weird.
Like, for some reason, I'm like... It's just doesn't enough people are in therapy in the world that everyone knows you can't have any kind of personal relationship with your psychiatrist. So the moment that happens, I'm like, this is just frustrating. Right. But I can't justify that. That's just a dumb pet peeve.
I guess you ride on the fact that he deserves it. Like, he's kind of a douche. But then again, you might have had something in the beginning a little more, like, setting him up to be more of a douche. But
he's not, like, a monster.
That's the thing. Right. He's like, not enough of a monster to justify what happened.
I do. I mean, I kind of feel bad for Leo, but it's, like, it's kind of teetering. It's like, you know, you can't control other people's actions. You can only control how you react, Leo.
I think that you're onto something. I think that if he were a monster... Like, we have to sort of relate to him,
right?
To buy in,
right?
Right, and so we have to feel this. Oh, I would feel the same way.
Oh yeah, car ride,
right?
When he finally kicks him out of the car, he's like, "Yeah, I get that. I can tell it. I would have totally just like, that's enough. Get the fuck out of this." And the dinner scene.
You do kind of see where you see how harmless he is, though,
right?
Like, and he's like, "Dude, he's harmless." Like,
But he would absolutely grate on my nerves after a while.
Oh, yeah.
I
also want to mention Catherine Irby's face has not changed since she was allegedly a teenager.
Oh, yeah. Now she's, what, 45?
But she literally, she looks like a 45-year-old teenager.
Yeah, she does. Exactly.
Law and Order's sweetheart.
Yeah. Law and Order's criminal intent.
Oh, is that is that her current life?
Yeah. Okay.
Her and D'Onofrio were very good on criminal intent.
Does that show still exist?
No.
We're only down to one Law
and
Order.
We're only down to SVU. All right. Or SUV.
Who would have...
Now all the victims are special.
And she's what's her Mariska is up to like what 10 million episode.
Oh yeah.
But Ice-T is absolutely phoning in.
That's right. SAG-AFTRA union, baby. Get that money, girl.
Oh,
I love it. I love her. I love her. I love her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love her.
I've minorly increased my score. You're convincing me a little bit. I don't know. The one thing that's nice, it really moves. It feels like it's 45 minutes long.
Oh, it's great.
Great comedies feel like a bunch of little sketches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always feel like they're little, just, you know.
Yeah.
I do like we didn't have to get too deep into how Bob and his sister got together. But it was just
Bill Murray did a great job with his like face acting there when she shows up being like, I'm interested in you. Yeah. Just nothing said, but you get it.
Oh, fave moment when she says I do and he's like, oh, phew,
boy. Yeah.
And he's totally genuine. He's still that character. It's so good.
I loved every bit with the fish. I loved
he's been in here for 8 hours and he's about to scream.
And his name is Gil.
Gil.
Fish name.
I wasn't gonna leave you.
I wrote down at one point, if something happens to this fish, I hate this movie. And I'm really glad that it didn't.
That's a good point. A Richard Dreyfuss move would have been like flushing Gil.
He does talk about filleting him.
We do need to talk for 1 second. Richard Dreyfuss is great in this.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
This is like the kind of thing that I think only Richard Dreyfuss could. Apparently, Wikipedia or someone was like Woody Allen was attached at some point.
Patrick Stewart. Frank Oz wanted Patrick Stewart.
Oh, I could see that, actually.
I'm trying to think of Patrick Stewart in 1990.
Right.
Like TNG.
Yeah.
And the first choice for Bob was Robin Williams, says IMDb.
Sure.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Anyway, Richard Dreyfuss, so good. If you haven't seen The Goodbye Girl, for which he won his Oscar,
that
you
is why
it.
My mom loves him. Like,
it's
that
such
movie
a charming movie.
Yes, it is. And even like to this day, I get a little teary when I hear the theme song.
Yeah.
I just want to throw out, the writer wrote some fun things. I mean, this writer, their first big success was Dead Poets Society. And then Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Remember Second Sight?
No, I don't remember Second Sight.
Oh, yeah, 1989 with John Larroquette and Balky, right? Yeah.
Balky Bartokomos.
And then he wrote What About Bob? Then Medicine Man, Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag, and then Holy Man.
Tom Schulman is his name.
And then Welcome to Mooseport.
Welcome to Mooseport, the farewell movie of what's his name who's still alive? Gene Hackman.
What, really?
Yeah.
Then the story writers were serious.
I didn't know that he decided that he didn't want to make movies anymore.
Oh, yeah. He stopped. That is his last credit, I think. That's his final credit.
Him and Sean Connery. Just like, deuces.
All right. Cool. Good for them.
Let's rate What About Bob? I know everyone wants this to be the new Kiss the Girls, our new top movie. Let's see if I sink it too far to make that a reality.
I wonder if I'm like trying to put it up there with my favorite, because it's one of my favorite comedies of all time. It's definitely in my top 10 comedies of all time. It's so much fun to me.
Huh.
I think it's very well done.
Once again, Robin will go last to see if she continues her streak of completely nailing the group consensus. So we will start with Aaron. Your number.
I'm going to go with I'll go with the year 91.
91?
Yep.
That is the first time anyone has gone into the 90s for a movie.
I mean, there it is.
Camila.
I wish I could have made that.
72.
72?
Oh, I'm not gonna.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, well, that's very good.
I think that might be my third rated, third highest rated.
My bar is a little higher, I think. Than
I feel bad. It's a 63.
So I will not continue my streak, but I'm up with Aaron. I got an 88.
Ooh, I love
88.
It.
Wow.
Yeah.
And will that bring it to the...
That gives you a pretty good spread. That's, I mean...
Yeah.
And it is our top-rated movie.
Wow. By how much?
That is an average of 78.5. The Kiss the Girls was 71.75.
No, that's not bad. That's not bad. I feel okay about that.
I'll accept that.
I think both of your answers are totally acceptable. I think that during the first half hour, I was like, I'll give this something in the 70s. I'm very happy. But that last hour of this movie, I was just laughing so much.
I did go in thinking, like... what's Sean going to think about this? And I'm going to look out for that.
Yeah.
So you adjusted. So this is a false rating.
Sure. No. But then as I go in, I'm going to go, this is really good.
I just kept
laughing. I haven't watched it maybe in 2 years, maybe 3 years.
Yeah. I definitely have not seen this since
I've never critically watched it.
Right.
Like, yeah, same.
Yeah. So this was like, yeah, this is good.
It's just always been just like on. Right. I don't think I've seen it without my family in a long time.
It is in those category of movies I call Thanksgiving movies.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Where you could, you know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles obviously is the one.
Right.
And the best comedy ever. I mean, it's okay. That's all right.
Home for the Holidays is my go-to Thanksgiving comedy.
Those are both such good movies.
Does that fit, don't
fix your mouth to be, I mean, that's...
No, I'm thinking of category, like more movies like that. Like that, it's like that PG, but not a baby movie.
Like Planes, Trains, Automobiles is where I want to laugh and also feel nice.
Yes, I think that.
I think that applies to What About Bob? Yeah,
It's darker.
It is darker.
Yeah.
Death therapy.
I mean,
death
right. Tries to murder him.
I just don't understand why.
Oh yeah, remember,
like,
and
completely Dr. go left when he saw that the house was actually blown up. Like, oh, so you really were trying to kill me?
Yeah.
And Dr. Leo Marvin also sued him for his book.
So such a great '90s insult.
That's a good tag.
Being litigious in the '90s is the worst thing you could be.
It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Let's talk about things that we've seen. I guess we should.
I've seen nothing. Just nothing. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You haven't seen Toy Story 4?
No.
Aaron, Toy Story 4?
No.
It's good, but it's what everyone's telling you. It's good, but it's not Pixar good. Mm, you know, it has great moments. There's the best voice cast they've ever assembled. It's a ridiculous, like, there's a minor, like, the mom of a side character is played by Patricia Arquette because every single part is somebody huge.
Yeah. Wow.
It has some really good comedy bits. It has a nice horror section in the middle. That made me happy.
Love it.
And somehow it's still rated G. Rated G, despite being a really disturbing middle act. That, minor spoilers, ends with, like, dolls getting ripped apart, like, including some of our characters. And it's a G-rated movie.
And also, just so people, I did not know this until last year. They don't rate movies G anymore. This is the third G-rated movie of 2019. Last year, there were three total.
Mm-hmm.
Movies just do not get rated G anymore. So
sounds like Toy Story is flexing some muscles.
Yeah.
Try to get some ticket money.
Really? What about those little straight to like Netflix kid movies or whatever?
I don't think they get rated.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Huh. Robin, you have to go. Keanu Reeves in Toy Story 4 is maybe even better than Keanu Reeves in Always Be My Maybe.
The Keanu-sance.
Oh my.
Which somebody brought something. Speaking of Keanu, somebody brought something up, and I just immediately thought about you. Paula Abdul's Rush Rush video.
That's, by the way, I think that's my guess for what's the number one song.
Oh,
so
really?
Spoilers for the end. I'm pretty sure that's 91.
Wow.
We will find out.
I did see New Kids on the Block in concert.
Stop it and break the format. A lot of details.
How
please.
Was it?
It was good, but I was like, the last time I saw them was much better. It was like 6 years ago.
They're 6 years older and 6 years worse at dancing.
Yeah, right. 6 years
and
more of arthritis.
Yeah, exactly.
Divorce.
And, you know, this was like, right.
Opioids are bigger now.
I got a kiss from Donnie last time.
There's nowhere to go but down.
But, exactly.
Yeah.
But they also didn't have a live band this one.
Weird.
Which made it sound really canned.
Yeah.
And it was also like a weird format because it was like the mixtape tour. So it was them, Debbie Gibson, Tiffany, Naughty by Nature, and Salt-N-Pepa.
How was Salt and Pepper?
Yeah, how was Salt and Pepper?
Did they still have Spinderella?
No, they did not. Okay. Like, and apparently there's some drama there.
Yeah, that's what I. That's why I asked.
Did all of these? This is my question. Did all these people do full sets, or did they come out and do like three songs?
Yeah, they kind of mixed around, so they would
very
kind
smart.
Of, like, yeah,
very smart.
So yes, you know, again, whoever put this tour together did an excellent job.
My motherfuckers were tired. Like, yeah. So new kids came out, did three songs, and then came Tiffany did her song.
They're
and then,
so thankful for this money,
right? So they all finally several times.
It's a genius way to make money off your three hits.
Right.
I mean,
at
it's
first,
genius.
I was like, you know, I thought that Tiffany, I thought Tiffany was just going to sing her one song. I was like, really? You're on tour for one song? But she came back out later and did like three more.
Was it a mall background?
Like, no. And there was like a big difference between her and Debbie Gibson. So, like, the way that we were seeing it was like, Tiffany is like, you know, I'm sure she's a mom by now and whatnot. And she's like, she can still sing, and every once in a while, someone's like, "Hey, mom, why don't you sing that song?" And she's like, "Oh, okay, I'll sing it." But Debbie, on the other hand, she's probably like, you know, inviting herself to sing at people's weddings, and you know, people actively like don't play music when Debbie's around just because she's gonna be consistently trying to sing all the time.
My sister-in-law, my mother-in-law, you know, my wife was too little. She was like 4 years old or whatever. They have pictures of Tiffany performing in Century 3 Mall in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Hilarious.
Oh
my favorite one of these, I mean, it's a little, once you get into alternative, it's a little different, but that's happening now. Because one summer I saw Everclear live. Filter and Sponge.
Oh wow,
it's genius!
Basically,
I would love that
because look who's going.
Right,
right.
Not a single woman in sight.
Dude, I'm going to go see Bush live.
Bush live and Our Lady Peace. Yeah. I'm thinking about going.
That's great. That's
and
I would much. I've never been a concert goer. I would much rather go see the hits like that
and
that I grew
and
up
you
with.
And you still like roll up at 6 and you're
it's
done
like
by
our
11.
Parents
it's not,
going,
yeah.
I was home by 11 after
right.
this
show. It's our parents going to like a doo-wop concert or like a car cruise. Like it's
exactly.
Like, well, like, oh, this was good tunes.
And a lot of those bands like I love from my childhood. And, you know, it's going and I really like Sponge. Sponge was great. Filter was okay. Live was okay.
I haven't heard the sentence Sponge is great.
Did Sponge
I
love Sponge. Do that,
for so long.
That 16
Candles song? Molly Ringwald, that's what a great song.
Yeah.
And Everclear, I've probably seen 7 times, and they are kind of terrible live. This was the worst they had been. And I'm like, I'm looking around, and no one gives a shit at all. I'm like, why doesn't anyone care that the quality of this performance is, we're just here to remember a song we like and drink? Okay, fine.
We're just waiting for Santa Monica. That's it. Yeah. Nobody gives a shit about it.
It's just a room of people, like 75% of the people are like, we got the third base of this song. That's
exactly.
That's our whole life. That was a good You Can't Handle the Truth little bonus music edition.
Yeah. Movies.
Last week TV, this week music.
Yeah. Hey,
next week golf.
Yeah. Well, let's just keep. I watched that dumb mini golf game show with Rob Riggle.
I'm bringing Keno news next week.
Did you see the commercials for Rob Riggle's mini?
No.
It's hosted by Rob Riggle and Stephen Curry. They play mini golf on an obstacle course. It's like Wipeout with mini golf. And I'm like, I'll give it one.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
I'll give it. There's some good bits, but the mistake is they assume we care about the mini golf. It's like, we're here to watch people fall down.
It's a long
obviously.
Putt.
Yeah, I know. It like gets into drama. First of all, it's an hour long because they stretch it out.
Hour.
Oh my.
The best, and this was like, okay, I got to give them this one. The one of the whole, and it doesn't change week to week. It's always the same obstacles. So you need to watch one episode and if that, but one is the distraction hole where it's just a normal 15-foot putt, but something ridiculous happens when you square up to take your shot. And this week was she squared up and then a thing turned around and Kenny G came out and played saxophone really fast in their face while they were trying to putt. I'm like, okay, this works.
Works. This show kind of was already done with karaoke.
Okay.
Steve-O did a show.
Steve-O.
Very funny. Dude, so funny because
Aaron has worked with Steve.
I think this is very, very. I think this is a one up. This is better than this golf show.
What is the karaoke show?
Basically, you have to sing a karaoke song, and like they judge if you're getting it or not, or they'll buzz you like, nah, you lost it. And you have to do it while going through Steve-O type things like laying in a, you know, a chair that's full of snakes. Like,
no.
Or it's like, or you have to like,
no, sir.
You have to stand in a kiddie pool of cockroaches and sing
extremely
karaoke.
No.
Hilarious.
No. I already don't like karaoke. Add cockroaches, very bad.
I mean, people. Oh, it's so good.
I mean, I love me some karaoke, but don't.
Like,
don't
sing Hungry Like the Wolf while we're showing throwing ground beef at you. Hilarious. I made that one up, but I'll be a writer soon.
Hey, I liked Annabelle Comes Home.
Did you?
Ooh,
and,
Sean.
And the second
that
one
means
was.
I'm going to go see it.
The second one was bad. Was it Annabelle Creation? Or
not,
that was bad.
Not great.
That was the one with the little orphanage, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And this one, you know, the Ed and Lorraine Warren house with all of the creepy stuff where you knocked on the door and couldn't get in twice.
Twice. Wait, I went to the Warren's house.
Oh, did you?
Twice.
Mm-hmm. Where is
closed.
It?
About 40 minutes outside of Hartford.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Oh, it's on my. I got lots of spooky stuff on my map.
This is
to go visit.
This is the movie
but
where
closed.
This is the movie where they're just like, you know what? We're gonna lock three teenagers in the house and see what happens.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, great. We don't need a backstory that goes to eight countries and gets into folklore. And it's like, just like, hey, this house is full of creepy shit. Let's put some kids in there.
I always wondered, like, what would happen if, like, the Warren's kids? They had
right.
kids.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, did they have sleepovers? Can we have sleepover at the Warren's?
Like,
fucking no.
Kids are absolutely disobedient. Like, I don't know. I understand, like, how that little girl could have grown up and survived as long as she did.
Everything they own says, do not open this. Demons
possessed.
Will kill you.
Right.
And they have one girl who's like, show me the creepy stuff. And then she lets herself in and just goes around touching and opening shit for 10 minutes. It's like,
see,
yes,
she needs a woman.
Here we are.
That is bad home training.
That's why
right
you
there.
Need to
on
educate.
Several levels.
Yeah. You need to educate your kids early on the occult. Okay?
Right.
Right. Don't be speaking Latin you don't know nothing about. Don't be drawing random symbols.
Right.
Damn sure don't put your blood on it. Like, I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. There is a really bad CGI werewolf. But other than that, it's I enjoyed it.
Is it in theaters now?
Tomorrow as we're recording, so it'll be out by the time this episode is out. Anybody else see anything? I saw a bunch of stuff, but I don't want to talk about all of them.
Murder Mystery on Netflix.
Yeah, it was fun.
Fun little date night at home with my wife. Mm-hmm. Very funny.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Oh, and The Last Black Man in San Francisco is my first 10 of 2019. I don't know where it's playing. Like, they showed it to us and said when it was coming out, and then it wasn't in Pittsburgh theater. So it's in very limited release, but excellent. Okay. Hey.
All right.
It's time to draw a movie, everybody.
Exciting.
So, it's the full list, including new number one Toy Story 4. Of course, every Toy Story is up for grabs. The number is 414, and for the first time, we will be dealing with James Bond on the show.
Yay!
As we watch GoldenEye.
Oh! Yes!
1995.
That's a good one. Awesome!
I don't think I've seen it beginning to end.
I've never seen a James Bond movie.
You've never seen
not
any
a single
James Bond
one.
Movie?
Not
we're
a
about to change
one.
Your
wow.
life.
I know, exactly. Yeah,
you're about to lose something that you can say and never have I ever.
Did you have a reason or just,
no,
just never happened?
No, it just never really, they never spoke to me. I mean, yeah. It was
yeah,
just like,
I don't see a like, young 12-year-old black woman.
Right,
be like,
fine.
Let me get into this guy.
So growing up, I had a really mean grandmother, but she loved James Bond movies.
My grandma loved James Bond movies too. Well, that's why I'm into it.
You guys have the same grandma?
Henrietta? yeah, for real. My grandma loved
them.
And it's fun because this was kind of the restart that didn't take, right?
No, like, no, this took.
No,
is
no.
This, is this Pierce?
It's the first Pierce Brosnan one. And
wait, did you say GoldenEye or Goldfinger?
GoldenEye.
Okay. I thought you said Goldfinger.
No, I said
no,
GoldenEye.
No, that's in the 60s.
Okay,
we started in the 80s.
Yeah, we started in 82. But like,
okay, this is still good.
I know it hit, and I know people liked it, but like that did not revitalize the franchise the way that Casino Royale did.
I disagree. I think this is your recency bias.
Recency bias? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, this was like, this was like, James Bond was gone. Like,
yeah,
where
but
Timothy Dalton's were, they were okay. But like they okay. he had.
Also, the last Timothy Dalton one was probably 10 years before.
Yeah, that. It was a huge lull. And I think this is when the family was going through some who owns what, the Broccolis, the producers.
I love that nonsense is that they have such a silly name.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Broccolis. Like, forget about their other drama. Let's talk about their name.
Yeah, their last name is just Broccoli. Like,
nobody changed it.
Change it to a vegetable that sounds like it could be a last name.
Or even add like a little accent, broccoli. Like, just, you know, make
I think it might have originally been Broccoli, but yeah.
Oh, that was a band.
I'm just glad we got this and not like Quantum of Solace.
Same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would consider dropping a veto on that. I wouldn't. Yeah. But I would think about it.
You know what? I like you more. I like it because I don't. We can talk about this next time.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, lots of James Bond. I said James Bond.
Not crazy about Daniel Craig, the MMA fighter, or whoever they cast as the new, whatever.
But Casino Royale is one of my favorite movies. Like, I've watched that over and over again.
Hmm.
If that's on cable, that's my Shawshank Redemption, where, like, when it's on cable, I stop what I'm
doing.
Really?
That's your day changer?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You just like danger in Europe, you old romantic.
Thank you. What was the number one movie in America? What was... Robin already has a guess for the number one movie.
Number one song.
Number one song in America. I remember what our show is. May 17th or May 18th, 1991.
Is it
Rush Rush?
It is not Rush Rush.
Okay. I'm
losing my religion?
No.
I'm going to guess Madonna something.
It's going to be hard. No, it's going to be hard because I had no idea. I'd never heard of this group before I looked this
up.
A
lot of One Hit Wonders 91.
Right.
Good point. Yeah. And right before summer, May. Yeah. Before school ends, that April, May, June, that's where you get all your summer number one.
Right.
I'll see if I can lead someone towards it. It was a R&B group.
Hip Hop Hooray.
No.
Jump Around.
No.
Insane in the Brain.
Everyone you're naming is 10 times more famous than this group.
Is it Lunas?
No.
Is it the St. Lunatics?
I don't think anyone's. I had no idea.
You said R&B.
Yeah.
Jagged Edge.
It's like Jagged Edge, but not.
Oh, is it 112 Peaches and Cream?
You're 7 years early.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Bad Boy Records 112.
Wasn't that the Kissing Game song?
High Five.
Correct.
Yes.
High Five.
Wait, was it the Crying Game?
High Five.
The way you kiss them,
something like that.
The Kissing Game by High Five.
Yeah,
it's a summer jam.
And that's how I discovered that nearly everyone in the band High Five had a horrible, horrible fate.
No.
The main singer died huffing Freon out of an air conditioner.
No.
Guys, I found my dad.
Two of them went to jail for murder.
Shut the fuck
One of them is never did anything terrible but lost his legs to diabetes, and the fifth one is fine.
God.
See, guys, reunion tours save people's lives. Put these one-hit wonders on a goddamn tour and help them.
The video is a jam. The song is a jam. Don't watch the video. There are way too many uncomfortable close-ups of lips.
Lips.
That's the note we're going out on this week. We'll be back to talk about James Bond.
Number one.